Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I think you would agree with me when I say that grace is a mystery. As we have studied these first two chapters of Ephesians, the mystery of grace has only deepened for me. As I reflect upon what we have learned about grace from this book so far, I stand amazed at God's great work of grace. Grace chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. Grace has given us all spiritual blessings through Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Grace has determined that we will be like Christ and with Christ one day. Ephesians 1:5. Grace has made us accepted in Christ. Ephesians 1:6. Grace proved the blood of Christ that washed us from our sins. Ephesians 1:7. Grace reached out to us when we were dead in our sins and headed to hell. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4. Grace loved us. Ephesians 2:4. Grace gave us life. Ephesians 2:5. Grace has secured our future for us. Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. And grace has secured our salvation for us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Everything that we possess as believers is ours through and by the grace of God. We earned nothing that we have received. We deserved nothing we have received. We purchased nothing that we have received. Everything we have in Christ has been given to us by the free grace of Almighty God. God has given us the gifts of his grace without asking for a single thing in return. He doesn't expect us to repay him for his grace. While God does not expect any return payment from us, he does expect, though, a return on his investment. The work of grace in us results in some very real changes in our lives. These changes allow us to live for God. Our living for him, according to his will, brings him glory, brings glory to his name. And that is what he wants from us. He wants us to bring glory to his name. When grace comes to a lost dead sinner, that sinner is born again. That sinner is described in 2 Corinthians 5:17 as a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not going to be, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old appetites and ways of living are now laid aside for a brand new life in Christ. Where God works in us by his grace will work its way out in our lives because we're new creatures. Not only are we saved by the grace of God, we are changed by that same grace. Many believers don't understand that, yes, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. What many believers don't realize is that we are saved from the power of sin also. As the grace of God works itself out in our lives, it manifests itself in us through our works. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. These verses make it very clear that works have no part in our salvation. We're not saved by what we do or by what we produce. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, the proof that God's grace has worked in us to save us is our works after we have been saved. It's been said we are saved by grace alone, but that faith that saves is never alone. In other words, works do not save us, but we are saved to work. James 2:18 says this, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." James is reminding us that while faith brings us into God's salvation, as Acts 16:31 tells us, Acts 16:31, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." You and your household. Faith brings us to God. Our works prove the reality of our profession of grace, of faith. Your works prove the reality of what you are professing. It's a proof that you are what you say that you are. The verse before us today is about the work of grace in our lives. This verse before us today tells us what the Lord does in us when he saves us and how he works through us to accomplish his will in the world. This verse is a challenge to all of God's people to be the examples of grace. Let's notice the thoughts mentioned in this verse as we begin to look a little deeper at this concept of works. For we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Paul begins this verse by saying, we're his workmanship. Realize this, that in the Bible, words are very important. The words in the Bible are very important because God has inspired every word in the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by God for reproof, correction, and instruction. It is profitable. So we need to study the words closely. I believe when we study a passage, we need to take the time to look at the words in that passage. The words in the first part of this verse are vital to understanding the importance and the meaning. Let's look at these words a little closer. The word workmanship. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship. That word means that which is made, a work of art. That word workmanship comes from the word that gives us our word poem. It refers to a piece of literary workmanship. It came to refer to an author's magnum opus or his greatest literary achievement. In other words, it refers to his masterpiece. Paul is saying that the redeemed saints of God are the masterpiece of God. The saints are his greatest achievement. The saints are the greatest work of the master potter. The saints are the greatest letter ever written by the hand of the master author. The redeemed saints of God are the result of God's loving industry, of God's work. We're saved because he took the shapeless, dead clay of our lives in his loving, powerful hands, and he has molded us into something new for his glory. With loving care and infinite skill, God shaped us by his grace and wrote of his love in our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God has prepared us. He has wrought for us, as it says in the King James. He has wrought us for himself. It means to fashion with his workmanship. He has prepared us. He has wrought us as his workmanship. When you stop to think about the raw materials God has to work with when he saves sinners and changes lives, it becomes even more incredible. When we think of it, what he has done in our lives, realize this, as his masterpiece, the redeemed are God's letters of love to a lost world. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. This is almost unbelievable statement. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, notice, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. What a statement. If you are saved, your life is God's love letter to a lost, dead world. He has written about his love in you and on you and through you. He tells this world that he loves sinners, that his son died to redeem the lost, that there is life-changing power in the grace of God, that the gospel is real, and that God makes a difference in every life that he redeems through the power of the blood of Christ. We are God's billboard upon which he writes of his love, how he took sinners and made them alive, those dead in their sins and their trespasses, and made them alive and made them new creations. No artist paints a pain to hide it in the closet. No sculptor fashions a sculpture just to hide it away in an unseen place. No writer pens a literary work to keep it away from the eyes of others. Every artist wants his paintings to be seen by many. Every sculptor wants his work to be viewed by others. Every writer wants his words to be read by other people. God did not save us to sequester us within the walls of the quote-unquote church. God saved us to display us to the world. He saved us so that through us, he might show others what he can do for them. If you are saved, you are God's testimony to the world that he saves sinners. So let the world see what God has done in you, with you, and for you. That's what he's talking about we are his epistle. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. What a statement. An epistle of Christ. It says that's why all things are working together for good. Because we're being conformed into the image of Christ. Being conformed into the image of Christ. One writer has used this illustration, told of this illustration. Michelangelo was once asked what he was doing as he chipped away at a shapeless rock, and he replied, "I'm liberating an angel from this stone." Bad theology, but I think you get the picture. That's what God is doing with us. We are in the hands of the great maker, the ultimate sculptor who created the universe out of nothing. And he has never yet thrown away a rock on which he has begun a masterpiece. We are epistles written of Christ, an epistle of Christ, written by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Brothers and sisters, you who are in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, notice, being an epistle of Christ, one of God's masterpieces. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ, new creations, epistles of Christ, and the workmanship of God. What a high calling. What a privilege. What an honor. And if you're listening today and you have no idea what I'm talking about, you need to come to Christ today. You need to come to Christ today for forgiveness of sins. You need to come to Christ today and become a new creature. That it would be said of you. Now there is the workmanship of God. That person has been made new by God. That's the only thing that can explain the change in that person's life. Bob or Harry or Mary or Sue has become a new creature by Jesus Christ. If you've never come to Christ for forgiveness of sins, come to Christ today. And if you have come to Christ as an epistle of Christ, as the workmanship of God, may you live a life that glorifies our Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ.